What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Cigars and Everything Else podcast. My name's Jared. I got Denzel with me. We're going to get into some cigar talk and a little bit of everything else.
Yes, sir.
We're on episode 81 today. I know you bring me some players, man, that we can go ahead and honor this episode to today.
Man, we got some options. Man. Yeah, we back in those numbers again. Like I said, it's football season. We're on the brink of the Super Bowl. And
it's only right.
My team won't be there.
I told you they weren't going to be there. Look at you. You're dressed in brown today. You should have been dressed in that nasty blue last week to represent, man, because it was the end of the season.
And now it's just brown. Now it's just dull, just somber moments. I tell you, that Monday was a hard Monday. I can't even lie.
But you went and left some people out at the next day, didn't you?
And we had some 49er fans too at work, and they was all giddy and all happy, wanting to talk about the game. Like, no.
Let's not.
Let's not. The group chat, the work group chat, was ugly.
Yeah, you the only Pistons fan, weren't you?
Lions fan, yeah, only one.
I mean, not Pistons, Lions fan. Yeah, you the only Detroit fan in general, mm-hmm. man. So, yeah, man.
Yeah, so I just had to sit there and
just eat it. You know, that's the worst part, man. Yeah. A team like the 49ers is like, they got such a long history. That's like being a Lakers fan or a Boston.
You got enough, Celtic man. Fan. Like, you got enough. So like, you got enough.
They always going to have somebody jumping on the train. Like, yeah.
So there's 49er fans everywhere. There's more of them than there are of us. So I was outnumbered. Yeah. I just had to sit there and take the jabbings. But it's neither here nor there. We got some great football players to honor for 81. So I'm curious to see where you're going to go with it, man. So here we go.
Let's go.
Randy Moss.
Mm-hmm.
Calvin Johnson.
Yeah.
Tim Brown.
Black Raider. And silver. Yeah.
We got, man, I'm going blank. I was trying to go off the top of my head. Who we got? Who else we got?
T.O. Got T.O.
T.O. Who else we got? Terry Holt.
He did. Rams. Dang, I can't. Rams, there you go. I'm seeing his jersey. I'm like, who's Rams? Yeah, Rams. There you go. You
got a chip.
Terry Holt from the Rams.
Don't sleep on it. You got a chip. Yeah. Some of them got a chip.
I used to run with them on Madden, so I remember Hope. You know what I'm saying? Hope was one of my go-to wives and stuff.
Marshall Faulk and all them guys.
Yeah.
That St. Louis team was. They was nasty, boy. They was. I used to like them. I was rooting for them back in the day when they won it. Who else we got? Is that all we got for right now? It's like as far as like the big names.
Jose Calderon.
So who we going with?
Is it the Jose Calderon episode? That's your boy, man. That's the only Detroit representative.
Calvin Johnson.
Nah, man. Jose Calderon, man.
Man, if you don't get out of here.
You ain't excited?
All right, no, man. I'm not excited.
Calvin can't get it. Calvin is dope. Calvin can't get it.
No, I'm not excited.
Holt is dope. Holt can't get it. It's
Randy Moss.
No, man. Who? Come on, man.
Name you got. Having a hard time, man.
Well, we knew it was going to be a hard time.
I'm going with Calvin Johnson. I got to go with Calvin Johnson. Man. The boy was. Come on, I got to go with Calvin Johnson. If Detroit can't win the Super Bowl, I got to get an episode of Calvin Johnson. But to not stress you out, I say give it to T.O. Man, T.O. was that guy.
T.O. Man, I go.
I say give Brown over T.O. But over Randy Moss, though.
Nah, man. I can't go T.O. over Randy Moss.
You can't go T.O. over Randy Moss?
I won't go T.O. over Randy Moss. It's the Iverson thing for me. You know what I'm saying? It's like who meant more to me. You know what I'm saying? T.O. was a bad boy, but you know, Randy was my guy, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, so on some personal stuff, the same way you go Calvin Johnson, like, I'm going to go Randy because I just like Randy Moss.
T.O. was more built the culture more though. The way the game is played.
T.O. is definitely a more influential personality, big personality and all this. Randy just a little grouchy to himself, dude. But personally, I like Moss better. You know what I'm saying? Now, culturally, yeah. You know what I'm saying?
You know what? This might be the first episode that I think we might have to leave this up to everybody else, man. I don't know if we're going to be able to. We ain't gonna
T.O. might be the answer. T.O. might be the answer because it's Moss personally for me, and you like Calvin Johnson personally for you, and you know T.O.'s the obvious one right there in the middle of the two. He's the balance between it, where it's no going wrong. It's not a wrong answer with any of these three, but we obviously got our personal preferences. You know what I'm saying? And it ain't him, but we both mutually respect him. So I'm thinking it's a T.O. episode, man, for that reason. Or Brown.
I don't know if I'm comfortable with that either.
Go Tim Brown then.
You would go with Tim Brown?
If you ain't going to go with T.O., that's the only other option for me. I'm not going to go Calvin Johnson. I'm not going Johnson.
So. He's not going Calvin Johnson at all. Like, it's not even the boy quit.
Now I'll go Jose Calderon before I go Calvin Johnson. Obviously, this is out of disrespect, whether you realize it or not. You know, I'm picking.
Very much so. Very much so.
But
I say T.O., man. I say we give it to T.O.
T.O. have it. It's T.O. We go T.O.
Reluctantly.
We go T.O.
Reluctantly.
I don't have no problem with Terrell Owens having it, bro.
With honorable mentions.
Everybody's honorable mention. Everybody that got named except for Jose is an honorable mention. Jose is a troll.
Except for Jose.
But everybody else is an honorable mention. You know what I'm saying? Like, and deservingly so. It could have easily been in honor of them. So.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm with that. In all seriousness.
This is pretty much, guess what? This weekend is. It's Pro Bowl weekend, ain't it?
Yeah, Pro Bowl weekend.
Shout out to the Pro Bowl. Shout out to let's put all of them in there. We can say T.O.'s the captain, and then everybody else in honor of the Pro Bowl. This is just a Pro Bowl day. All the major ones, man. There you go.
That's a nice way to flip it, man, and bring it back. That's a good way. That's a good way to go about it. I respect that. I appreciate it. We're doing business with you. You know what I'm saying? We can do it like that.
Good transaction.
Yeah, man. Let's get into these sticks, man. This week. I see you posing already, man. What you got there, man?
I hit you up. I said, man, I'm excited. All right, so I'm going to give you a little rundown real quick. I ain't going to keep it too long, though. But I was in Humidor, and you mentioned box press last week. And I said, who does box press better than almost anybody? When it comes to when I think box press, and I think about one of the first cigars lines that really introduced that flat box press shaped cigar. It's a flathead. Smoke a flathead. So I went into the humidor with the intention of grabbing a flathead and getting to it, which I got one. It's a beautiful. It's beautiful. Nice dark skin. Beautiful. Love it. But as I was going, I always got to get number two or number three. And I ran into Fuente. And Fuente just spoke to me. I was like, I got to do a Fuente. I found this Fuente. And let's keep this in mind. And I was doing a little bit more looking into Fuente. And we always say, hey, they do one real type of cigar, which they kind of do keep it in a tight space. But in all actuality, I don't think we've given Fuente enough credit for the variety that they do have. Right? A lot of the bands look similar, but if you pay very close attention to the details in the bands, they'll lead you on to telling you that those cigars are very different from the next one that is sitting next to. So, bands might look similar, But look at that wrapper. Look at that description of the stick. So this particular one I have is the Untold Story. I don't know if we can see that. Yeah, you can't see it. But it says Untold Story. Untold Story by Fuente. Grand Reserva ran me about $19. Okay. $19.60.
Fuente, okay.
And it puts me in that mindset of that Davidoff I had, man. It's a beauty. It smells great.
I see you undressed. When you brought the other one and you was like, you know, I got this. And I'm like, is she still dressed in cellophane? What happened? Like, you know what I'm saying?
I had to get this one undressed. It's like, yeah. Hey, look, it's going down. Take that off.
I see.
Teddy P.
Yeah, you're with that Teddy, man. What's the specs on them?
All right, so it's Dominican Republic, country of origin. Wrapper Cameroon, African Cameroon.
Okay.
Dominican Republic on the filler and binder. African Cameroon. And it smells beautiful. She got high hopes for this one.
Thing. I got to give it to you.
Woo-wee. Yeah. So what you got, man? What you got?
So for me, I'm going with a Nub Maduro. Nice little nubby nub, and I'm excited about it. Because, you know, I do love the Oliva brand, and, you know, I'm happy to be able to smoke Oliva today. So for me, I'll give the specs on the nub for those who may not know. Origin is Nicaraguan. And what else we got here? Let's see. Nicaraguan filler. And Nicaraguan through and through, actually. So that's what I got today. Oh, price point on this. I got it for $11.20 in my particular humidor. So
okay, that's a little more pricey than what I'm used to seeing for Nub. I'm usually seeing Nub underneath that $10 mark, like around the $8 range.
Man. Game different, man. Game different. You know. Yeah, hey, but man. Look, man. You can't get nothing for under $8 no more. So
for real. Seriously, not even McDonald's, man. We already talked
nowhere.
Not even some Mickey D's anymore. Yeah. Hey, but look, so real quick, I'm going with the V cut today. Matching.
Okay, you bought one? Oh, you found it?
Yeah. No, I just went found it. I knew where it was at. I just had to go bring it to the party. So okay. Let's not be disrespectful. Whoa! TV timeout. Let's go.
My fault, man. My fault. I'm punching on my end.
Hey, but look, man. So you sent me the pictures of the cigars that you grabbed. And when I saw that nub, I tell you the excitement that I had. And to put this in perspective, you also had a Placencia sitting right next to it. You had a Punch sitting right next to it, but more specifically that Placencia. But man, I tell you the way like my eyes lit up when I saw you had that nub, that just speaks to that kind of love and respect that I have for Nub. I love those Nub cigars, man.
Yeah. You know, these Nubs are cigars that, you know, I don't get them often, but yeah, I wish I did. They're very fun sticks. For those of you that don't know what Nubs are, it's by Oliva, and it's a cigar, and the concept of it is it's going to only be two-thirds of a cigar instead of a full 3/3.
Yeah.
So this particular stick here is supposed to pick up in the second third where all the action happens in the cigar, and it bypasses everything in the beginning that's building to get to a point. So in our show, a lot of the times, we're just entering the second third. So you hear our point of views based off of what could be rocky beginnings getting started, and then usually how you feel by the end of the stick is kind of where your score goes off of, kind of taking into account what you felt in the beginning. So some of these sticks are, their numbers could be getting shorted because we're not getting straight to the best parts of it. And then we smoke them afterwards and like, oh man, this stick is a little better than I realized it was because we're now in the second and final third of the stick.
Like, so for those of you, the action happens.
Mm-hmm. So try a nub, you know what I'm saying? Get straight to the action, enjoy it, man. You know, and it's still a long lasting smoke. This is going to last me for the entirety of the show.
Whole show.
Still.
Yeah. 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 So like it takes that pressure off. Feel like you got to smoke a cigar for 2 hours, if not more. You get right to the point. enjoy the best parts of a stick and still have a good quality smoke. Still get you 45 to an hour. Easily. And like you said, you don't pick them up as often as you would like. Me neither. And when I saw it, I said, shame on me, man. I need to have some more nubs in my repertoire.
Right. And on top of that, it's by Oliva. And Oliva is one of the all-time greats in cigars. You never going to go wrong picking up anything by Oliva. So grab yourself one.
Hey, man. So real quick, I know your stick is picking up in the heart of the action. And not to make you feel bad, but so is mine. So is mine. Man, it's Puente. Like, all right, so the richness of the flavors that I'm getting off of just lighting the tip here is insane. A lot of rich flavors off the rip. A little spice. Some deep chocolates, a little bit of sweet. So yeah, some deep chocolates with a little bit of just that hint of sweet that you get from a dark chocolate. Some heavy oak undertones. Heavy oak undertones. It is flavorful.
You are pretty much accurately describing my experience, minus the oak. But for word, verbatim, you have described my experience. I have no reason to give my initial thoughts because they're exactly what you said.
Man, this thing is rich. Some good oil in this, too. Mm-hmm. And a slight hint of leather.
No leather, but some oil in this on this also.
Man, this is nice. Hey, so check this out, man. So Aficionado, their latest magazine, and we know Aficionado, everybody knows Aficionado, they'll always feature a celebrity of sorts and put them on the cover of the magazine, you know, for that uphill, helps sell the magazine, helps push the cigar culture forward, you know, by offering some familiar faces, some notoriety, some faces with notoriety, and throw them on the cover with a cigar.
Do an interview
talk
with
about how much they love cigar. Do an interview and all that stuff, which is great. We love it. I've been a big fan of Cigar Aficionado. Used to buy the magazines back in the day, especially for that inspiration that Aficionado magazines always was able to deliver to us. We always get the magazines and jump into it. That was my... That was my X-Men magazine as an adult, right? My Ebony or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if your parents had it, but my parents had the Jet magazines, the Ebony and whatnot.
Yeah, Ebony. Can't
remember what the other ones are. But for me as an adult, that was mine. Hey, give me that Aficionado. Let me look at these pictures of the nice drinks that they got, or the different cigars, the timepieces.
Mm-hmm.
And then they
new
have
cars, like, whatever's coming out.
Cars, yeah, whatever's coming out, whatever the new hotness is. And then they have that celebrity that they'll highlight. And this particular one, they put Steph Curry on there. And nod to the boy. We like Steph Curry. And yeah. Steph, if you ever watch this, and if you are a cigar guy, you one of the bros, and you enjoy cigars, hats off to you. But as it stands right now, from myself into the cigar culture, and I don't know if I'm speaking for you as well, Steph Curry just doesn't ring synonymous with cigars. Just doesn't. And, you know what I'm saying? And not saying that you can't enjoy cigars and on your private time and not be out in the forefront with it, but there's something to be said about those guys who have been on the forefront with those cigars, championing cigars, and making you say, man, I need a cigar. I need that MJ treatment, or I need that Arnold Schwarzenegger treatment. So it begs the question, man. To you, who are the bona fide celebrity cigar ambassadors? Who are the ones for you? And I'll talk about mine too.
Well, the names that, of people that you tend to think of, like you said, you tend to think of your Jordan. You tend to think of every game, infamous cigar smoker, known to smoke one before every single game. They'll drop 40 with cigar smoke all over them as it's cologne. You know what I'm saying? Like, someone, Ocho Cinco, you know, is somebody who you tend to think of now as, because
he has a cigar line himself.
He's got his own line. He's out there and everybody in the forefront, in front of everybody's face, and pushing it. So he's one of the celebrities at this point, I think of. Like you said, Arnold Schwarzenegger, he was big cigar guy. You know what I'm saying? He was always talking about his cigars and stuff like that. He was known for it, involved him in his movies. They only had him in his movies because he was smoking them. He wouldn't put them down anyway. So
Keep the cameras rolling. I know my lines. I got my cigar. I know my lines. Keep the camera rolling. Let's go. Let's go to work.
Right. It's hard to say though, man, as far as, who my ones that I think jump out at me the most though, man. Do you got some more names you can run off, man, off the top of your head, man, that you got some people to throw at me, man? I know Steve Harvey's a cigar smoker.
Know Steve,
you
know, Harvey, Bernie Mac.
Yeah.
George Burns. Back in the day, everybody know
George Burns. George Burns.
Almost 100 years smoking cigars.
Yeah, George Burns.
Going through a routine. Cigar going.
Yeah.
You got, mine's going blank real quick. You know, Rick Ross, man, he got cigar music. Always talking about clipping cigar at the top. Let's go. Celebrate with a stogie. Who else do we got?
Jack Nicholson.
Cam Newton.
Yeah. Without a doubt. Cam is heavy on his stuff, man. You know, got his lounge out here in Atlanta, you know, cool spot. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, most definitely Cam Newton.
Yeah, definitely jump feet first into the cigar culture with the cigar lounge. Yes. Nod to the boy for that. Fellowship. Shout out to that spot. Kales.
Kelly. Robert Kelly. Robert Kelly.
I mean, hey, look, my man's on the basketball court. They got this footage. Smoking a cigar on the basketball court, draining threes, man, with a cigar.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We know Kelly, he loves the cigars. I don't know if he's been smoking them lately. He's in a situation, but, you know, big cigar enthusiast.
Yeah, Robert Kelly. Nasir Jones,
Jay-Z to a lesser degree, but honestly, you know what? Matter of fact, let's go back to Nas real quick. From my memory, early on in my youth, he might've been one of the first celebrities that I remember seeing Scarface and all those guys in movies,
like,
one of the first guys I remember seeing.
Stogie in his mouth.
With a stogie.
With a suit. Yeah.
With a suit on. Street dreams. You know what I'm saying?
Street dreams. Yeah.
So, even over Jay-Z. Jay-Z got an album cover.
Oh, was that a pink suit he had on?
It was a pink suit. Yeah. Casino. They did the whole casino joint.
At the casino.
That was my first view of actually noticing cigars was Nas. In the Street Dreams video, posted up smoking his stogie. Like, yo, all right, that's dope. That's cool. You know, and it kind of just draws you into the culture when you see those guys getting in there, enjoying their cigars, unwavering with their cigars.
Yeah.
So who's your one? So when you think about cigars and you think about how they bring it to the culture and how they represent the cigar light, like Osho, he's all the way in. Cam, when he does his podcast, he's all day. Unwavering.
Winston Churchill. That's a popular name. That ain't our era, of course, but he's known.
Not our era, but
they got cigar.
Yeah, they got cigar types just for him.
After him, you know? So that lets you know. Yeah. You know what, man? This is I'm not gonna say Cam or Ocho, because it's just in my brain is what's synonymous with me, but I almost feel guilty not naming them too. Cause they dove so deep in. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's almost like they deserve that level of respect because they went that hard.
Deeper than Steve. He smokes his cigars, but he ain't got a line. MJ's into the culture though. MJ is deep into the culture.
I feel like MJ's my answer as far as celebrities. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like, you know what I'm saying? Just because who MJ is and then who he is, the cigars, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's disconnected to it. It's hard, you know what I'm saying? Regardless if he decided to invest in it, we all know ain't a day going by that Mike ain't smoking him a cigar. Still. Like, you know what I'm saying? So,
yeah. Yeah. Hey, I heard this cool story about this, jumping back to the Steve Harvey and Bernie Mac, when they used to do their Kings of Comedy show, and they used to go set up, they would have their cigars and smoke the place out. They would take the fine, like thousands of dollars of fines, just to sit and enjoy their cigar. No matter how much time it took, no matter how much smoke damage happened, hey, we're going to have these cigars. Him and Bernie. Steve and Bernie, we smoking these cigars. Charge us how you need to, but we're going to smoke these cigars. It's going down. Who's the guy?
It definitely ain't. Even he's Joe Rogan doing it now.
Big on it. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's been big on it.
I seen a clip from Joe, though, man. Joe won't talking right, though, man. Joe's still in it for the wrong reasons. I ain't like what he had to say. Joe said, man, like, of course, you know, it ain't. Dude, smoke some just for the taste. It's got to be about taste. Getting the nicotine buzz. Yeah. I said, ooh, Joe, that ain't the answer.
We definitely smoking for the taste.
The taste, the aroma, the taste. Everything. Yeah, you know, I don't go into it trying to get nicotine buzz, Joe. That just come with the territory. I ain't looking for that, though. Like, but, yeah, I don't know, man. For me, I think that's, I'm going to go with Mike, man. Who you got?
Oh, I just retro held up by mistake real quick. And I picked up something really nice.
I got to hit that retro hell again.
I'm sorry. That just took me by mistake because, like, I was about to say something. It made me retro hell on accident. I'm like, ooh. It was strong, but it was good. I like that.
Hey, before you go into that real quick, I'm sorry, we about to shift gears, but I want to shift back into this. You don't be using your retro every time?
Not a lot. I pull out every now and then.
Okay.
I don't go to the retro. Sometimes, I'm going to be honest, and this confession moment for cigar enthusiasts. Don't hate me for it, but it's not my go-to. Like, I will forget about retro-helling for a minute.
Yeah.
I might go several cigars and smoke them, and I even think to even try to retro-hell. You know what I mean?
I retro-hell every cigar.
I don't.
Because, especially on the show. But I retro-hell more on the show than in my personal life, because we're trying to pick up on notes.
Get that feedback.
And I'm able to pick up on notes better through retro-helling.
Retro-hell.
And sometimes you notice notes through a retro-hell that you don't notice through actually...
Exactly.
Normally,
exactly.
So I do that on the show more. I remember to do it on the show every time, just for the reason because I'm having to be conscious to review it at the end of what I actually experienced. So when I'm doing it for fun, I don't always retro-hell. But back to what you were saying, I'm sorry.
I got to do better. All right. So you saying MJ for you?
I'm gonna go MJ, man. I'm gonna go Mike.
And I think if you go MJ, you can't go wrong. You can't go wrong.
Yeah.
When it comes to being a strong representative of the culture, right? And you have to think about who's going to represent that logo, the logo for cigars.
Mm-hmm.
You have MJ, man. Because the thing is, what I like about MJ, and mine's not MJ. It's not MJ. But I'm just throwing a nod to your choice.
Yeah.
Is he's had so many high moments and he's represented himself and his brand and his profession at such a high level. And in every moment that he's done that, it's been accompanied by a cigar.
Right.
So it's like you have to draw a straight line between and that's being synonymous with winning, being dominant.
Yeah.
And doing it with a cigar. It's like you said, smoke a cigar, drop 40 on you, and then finish up his night with a cigar. Win a chip with a cigar. Hit the golf course with a cigar.
Yeah. Yeah. So Before and after the game, too. Because, like, you know, Rodman showed up to his, after, on the last dance, they showed one of the episodes when Rodman owed Mike an apology. He felt sorry about what he did. Instead of saying sorry, he came to the room after the game like, hey, man, you got an extra cigar for me? You know what I'm saying? So, you know, Mike was in there doing his thing. You know what I'm saying? And here come Rodman asking for one. Yeah, man, take a cigar, man. We good. You know what I mean? So, that's before and after. I celebrate with like this. You know what I'm saying?
This is how I do it. All right, so I would love, and this is honorable mention right here, Chad, Ocho Cinco, big applause. Cam, big applause. All those guys, the younger generation of individuals, when I say younger, I'm talking about like, you know, between that 40 to 30 year old range of, you know what I'm saying, that new wave of younger individuals pushing the cigars, right? Because you got Steve, he's older. You got Mike, he's older. George Burns, you know, he's no longer with us, but when you think about George Burns and cigars, you think about him older. So big applause to those guys pushing the culture as it stands right now, as we are right now in our younger years, pushing cigar culture.
For Fidel Castro.
You think about Fidel Castro.
Yeah, since you mentioned George Burns, you know what I'm saying? Like,
got to go Castro on it. Shout out to Cuba, you know what I mean? Shout out to Cuba. Get them Cubans, man. Get them Cubans. But, man, I'm going to have to go. My fondness has to lie with Arnold, man. Arnold Schwarzenegger. I think he's represented the cigar culture with a certain type of tenacity that's unmatched.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And
That's an interesting point. The tenacity that Arnold brings with cigars is different.
With cigars, the cool factor. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? The tenacity with the cigars, no holes barred.
Yeah.
Knowledgeable. He'll put you onto something new. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, he's, to me, I think cigars. I'm going to say my bona fide celebrity cigar ambassador has got to be Arnold. It's got to be Arnold.
Schwarzenegger. I'm not mad at that. Man. I'm not mad at that. Arnold's like that, man. Arnold is definitely a huge advocate of cigars. He's a huge enthusiast. Like you say, he's always talking about it, always had one with him, always quick to give some advice. You see him light up and get excited whenever he talks about cigars in a way he don't.
Putting people on. And then, and that's the thing I like about it too. I think that's the thing I like. What you just said, the way he lights up when he's talking about cigars. He can be in governor mode. He can be in actor mode. But you talk about cigars, like the way he light up when you bring up cigars.
Yeah,
kind of how I feel, man. That's how I feel.
Yeah, so
I cannot know you. You can walk up to me with a cigar, so you can say something about cigars or ask me a question about cigars. You're going to see that same, I'm going to light up. Oh, we talking cigars? Hey, let's talk about it. So, a spirit animal of sorts is Arnold when it comes to cigars, man. Let's go, Arnold.
Great choice, man. Great choice. I ain't mad at it, man. And like you say, Cam, Ocho, definitely honorable mentions. You know what I mean? Like, in a weird way, I'm going to put Cam as the honorable mention just slightly above Ocho. You know what I mean? Because when do you see Cam without a cigar? You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, when do you see Cam without a cigar? You are right about that.
Yeah, man.
You are right about that.
That's how much is involved Ocho, in his branding.
You need to be smoking some cigars when you're doing nightcap with Unc and them.
Yeah, because we know you love him. You know what I'm saying? He's
you love him.
There. But, you know, it's not synonymous with the imagery isn't synonymous as much with Ocho.
Yeah. You
know
what I mean? Like, it's like when you think about it, you picture them with the cigar. I can picture Arnold with the cigar. I can picture MJ winning.
Yeah.
With a cigar. You know what I'm saying? Right. Celebrate with a cigar.
Yeah.
When you think about Cam in an interview. You see Cam in an interview, he's cigar. We're going. So yeah, I see that. Even though Ocho jumped out there and got the cigar lines and all of that stuff going.
Yeah. Ocho my guy. You know what I'm saying?
But Cam got the cigar lounges.
Yeah.
Don't get no deeper than that.
And won't put a cigar down to save his life if he on camera. So you know what I'm saying? He's next in line.
Shout out to both of them, but shout out to Cam. I like your reasoning on that. All right, man. So you got any halfway points? Any halfway
review? For me, I prefer not to get into it at this point in time. You know what I mean? I'm with a nub. You know, it's only right to just save it all for the end, just because it's
yeah.
It's such a
you already halfway anyway. You started at half anyway, so.
Yeah, and you kind of described what that was. You know what I'm saying? I ain't really gotten to a transition yet, so there's no really big reason to revisit that.
I will
that.
Say this. So I'm not going to go too deep into it. I'll save it for the final. But lots of flavors from the beginning still to this point. Some have become more prominent. Some have dialed back a little bit. But it's still all there. Nothing has kind of gone away, in a sense. It's all just kind of just riding there. It's almost like they're playing tag a little bit. A note of this will pop out, dial back. A note of this will pop out, dial back. Then this will come back. Like, with each puff, it feels like a different experience each puff so far. Very dynamic stick. Very dynamic stick.
Incredible. That's incredible, bro. You know, I'm excited to hear your final review of this, man.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be fun. So far, as it stands right now. Still got a ways to go. Fuente, do your thing. So check this out, man. I recently saw a video. And I believe it was like, I don't know, what do they call it? Not necessarily a debate or... He was with the Senate. Mark Zuckerberg. Mm-hmm. And he was getting berated in a sense. What it appeared to me, he was getting berated. And told that he needed to apologize for the damages that him and his platform caused families and their children with bullying and unsafe acts and this and that might have occurred through social media, and particularly his platform. There's tons of different social media apps and things available to the masses. You know, even some in other countries that we don't even know about, that we don't even frequent, right? TikTok, I think, is a Chinese company. You got Twitter now, owned by Elon Musk. And I think even Donald Trump's doing his own thing with, like, Truth Social or something like that. You got all of these different platforms for social media. All these social media outlets. But particularly Mark Zuckerberg, getting berated, billionaire, mind you, is getting berated and told to apologize. And from what it appeared to me, looks like he did. Mark Zuckerberg apologizing for damages and compromising things that happened to different families and their children. How do you feel about, one, social media, the climate of it, and one of the biggest proponents of social media and one of the biggest platforms being told to apologize?
Well, brother, I feel like Mark missed a payment or something to somebody. You know what I'm saying? A favor he owed to somebody he didn't pay a debt off or something, man. Because I don't see how we got here. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, how did you get to this point, man? Like, what went wrong?
I need more background information. Yeah.
Yeah.
What exactly happened? Why are you being called to the floor? Why are you being berated and told to apologize And lastly, how is that your responsibility?
Oh, look, I'm going to say this about social media. I've heard people who formerly worked at Facebook say they do a lot of psychology studying and they figure out what creates dopamine in people and which habits are the ones that are most replicatable that makes people want to continue to be involved with doing it to get these dopamines triggered in their brains and whatnot. So they're functioning off of trying to play off the chemicals in your body to keep you there. So they're very thought out what they're doing. Everything's contrived and it's not by accident. So, but at the same time, if we're talking just on some business stuff, they're doing what they're supposed to be doing as far as that. That's good business. Now, you ask about my feelings on social media. I don't care about social media. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not really no fan of it when it comes to it like that. I think we're too involved in it anyway as a group of people. And I think we all should step off of it.
To interject real quick, to talk about you, I envied you for several years. You were one of the last people I can ever remember or know of to get on social media. Yeah. You were like very reluctant, very slow to jump on social media platforms. Like, he ain't doing it, especially Facebook. I don't think you got an account to this day.
Yeah. And so I'm still not integrated in social media still. Like, you look at my involvement in social media is through more so business related stuff. It ain't me as an individual. I'm not individually on social media. Like me as a person being a presence up there. Like, you're not going to find me if we went to high school together. You ain't going to find me and become my friend on social media. Yeah. You're going to have to go through something I'm involved with business wise. You know what I'm saying? So I'm still technically not in it, but because I run into people, other reasons.
Like, I went to our college homecoming like a year or two ago. And like, you and Jared still friends, right? Y'all still like, how's he doing? Like, I ain't heard from him. Like, where is he at? People don't know where you. There's an APB out for you. You MIA. There's a lot of people who don't know where you are in this world.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's how it should be. It should be exactly like that. You know what I'm saying? You should not know where I'm at unless if you ain't keep my phone number throughout the years, then you should wonder where I'm at. And you shouldn't be able to find me, is how I feel about it. Like, you know what I'm saying? And I enjoy it that way. I don't want you to find me. Like, you know, like, I guess the fakeness of social media is what bothers me, the fake friends and all this other stuff. But that's on to another subject. You know what I mean? Like, if we won't cool in real life, stop acting like we cool on social media. Yeah. You know, I hear people tell stories of going to a party and everybody hanging out and don't nobody say nothing to each other at the party, and then they get home and get a friend request. And it's like, if you didn't say hey to me at the party, don't request to be my friend because you saw me at the same party. So
it's stuff like that. You can't even speak to me, but I get a friend request. Hey, I saw you at the...
Yeah, so now we're going to pretend like we cool on the internet. You know what I mean? Like, but
we wasn't cool back then. We wasn't cool at the party. Well, why we got to be cool now? I mean, to me, it just said they being nosy. You didn't want to know what's going on in your world.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm trashing social media, but I do understand everything that's an upside to it. Don't nobody got to explain it to me. I'm logical. I get the upside of that. You know what I mean? But to get back on topic with this whole thing. But as far as social media goes, they're doing what they're supposed to be doing to promote it and to grow it and make it a big thing and whatnot. But at the end of the day, everybody has their own First Amendment rights, their own ability to say what they want to say and freedom of speech and to use it how they choose to on social media. So therefore, I don't understand how it becomes the platform's responsibility for making sure that you don't get your feelings hurt on social media.
Yeah.
Nobody told you to go post your personal opinion about what's going on wherever in the world, and then you can't handle the criticism that comes with it. You know what I mean? Like, if you do that, that's what it is. Now, trolling is different, but that's just weird people. I don't understand people who say something just to say something, but you wouldn't say that to me in the grocery store line in person because I might choke you in real life. You know what I'm saying? Like, but you'll get that off on the internet. That's the stuff I don't understand, all those weird people. But even then, is that Zuckerberg's responsibility?
No.
I don't think
absolutely
so.
Absolutely not. You know what I'm saying? No, like, I don't think so at all. So you said something that was insightful to me. I didn't even think about this, right? You said like the whole, they've studied as far as like how to appeal to like dopamine and get you addicted to having to get to social media and all that stuff. That's just good business. That's just good business. Target does that, right? McDonald's does that. Everybody who has an ad.
Music.
They got different colors, different music. The popcorn smell when you went to Target back in the early 2000s was that draw to make you want to come to Target and eat some popcorn and go shop and spend your money. Walmart do it, right?
Yeah.
Vegas, when you go to Vegas, I heard about how Vegas does. They throw extra oxygen into, like, you know what I'm saying, the heightened casinos. Your senses and into the casinos that make you want to stay there and spend more money. That's business. Business is going to play on different aspects of your humanistic tendencies to draw you in to say, hey, look, I want your business. Cigarettes put the stuff into the, what you call this, to make the nicotine a little bit more potent, to make you more addicted to cigarettes, to buy more cigarettes. Ads, when they do ads on TV shows, they do things to kind of trigger, to make things synonymous with whatever, to make you say, hey, when I think about this, I want to go buy some Downy sheets. You know what I'm saying? Right. Buy my product. Or I want to go buy this juice. I see this. I saw that on the ad. Now I'm driving past Burger King. Now I got to have it my way. You know what I mean? That's just business. So what social media does, and Mark Zuckerberg might have done, and his team with Facebook or Meta, whatever they call it, they're doing whatever they got to do in order to keep that foot traffic going and keep you coming back for more. Now, is it their response? If the owner of Burger King or McDonald's hasn't apologized for somebody being obese or spending way too much money on fast food, why Mark Zuckerberg got to apologize for business?
That was, or that casino owner
had to apologize to anybody for making them broke and spending too much at the casino. They ain't apologizing. Why he got to apologize?
Right. Why, if the FDA ain't got to apologize for all this crap they approving here in America for us to eat that other countries don't allow in their food, then why does Mark Zuckerberg have to apologize because a few jerks get online and say stuff they shouldn't say?
I want the oil companies to apologize to me for having to pay $5 gas for several years.
Yeah. They're not going
apologize
to.
Apologize to me for that. I want an apology for that. Care about social media and having to apologize for now don't get me wrong, for anybody who's in their youth or anybody who's been bullied on social media and they've gone through tough times, or I know we've had situations where people committed suicide because of what happened on social media, but how is that responsibility lying on one particular entity? It's a lot of factors. You know, people have gone to schools and been shot at school or been bullied at school or gone home and took so much teasing. The school districts aren't apologizing for having a certain type of school district. No, you try to put things and mitigation plans in place to try to mitigate bullying in school. Like people get bullied on the basketball court at the YMCA or not Planet Fitness, but LA Fitness or whatever, on the court, they get bullied, whatever. Something happens, a fight breaks out. I'm not apologizing because a fight broke out of my establishment. Somebody went to this establishment and got bullied there. It's going to happen. It's going to happen.
It's happened since the beginning of the time, man. We've all dealt with, in some point in our life, dealt with somebody that made an attempt to bully you. You know what I'm saying? Like, but the difference is I'm not on social media, so when I dealt with it, it was in real life. I had to put hands on somebody in order to gain my respect. You know what I'm saying? Like, and it ended up being one of them situations. Like, you know, you're going to win or you're going to lose, but we ain't going to continue with the direction this is going. You know what I'm saying? Like, and that's what you have to deal with. But in social media, of course, it might feel like a whole lot worse because you got, you know, you can have 100 people or 1,000 people jump down your throat in the comments and make you feel like, you know, That whole dog pack mentality. But this
is simple as this. Turn it off.
Go ahead. Or for me, as an older dude, I ain't none of y'all real to me. Well, I know y'all a bunch of bots. Ain't nobody real on the internet to me. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, so somebody get in the comments and leave a message. You ain't real to me. I don't know who you are, what you are, and I know you ain't gonna say it to me for real in real life, because people in my real life don't talk to me that way. So, like, I don't, it's just, it's make believe to me. The internet make believe. It's make
believe. You know, and I think we're at that generation, that generation jump or divide, to where we still look at social media and the internet and the things that go down on our phone as not real life, right? Not real life. But I would honestly say that through my excursions in social media, as I try to build a bigger social media presence, is a lot of people's lives are in social media, and that is real life to them. Like, that's the crazy thing. And that's not on one person's or one entity's responsibility. That's just the way society's going, to where society's become that, to where now these youth, they're growing up in this world where social media is their reality. Like, it, their real life is not their reality anymore. What's more real to them is what's happening on their computer or their phone. That's real life. Full-blown relationships through social media and social media only, or transactions, business transactions having completely through social media, you know, where people might only know somebody through social media, but then they have a bigger connection with that entity through social media than they have in real life human contact.
Mm-hmm.
That's not Mark Zuckerberg's responsibility, that society's gone that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not Facebook's responsibility. Even if they play to the whole part of trying to make this more integrated into people's lives and making it more a part of people's lives, which they have done. Before, it was just for college students and college students only. And then they said, hey, let's open this wide open to everybody. Let's put content in there and people build their lives through social media. But it's not his fault that society is truly gone that way. You still got control over yourself and how you still look at things, just like you've done. It's like I still do. Even though I jump more into social media than you, I still know that separation. I still know there's a line of separation, and we got to teach our kids that.
Yeah, and I think that's separation. I'm not saying that people got to be an extremist like me. Well, I have this extreme point of view of it, but you got to find some balance, as is with anything in your life. And if you're not finding a balance between the internet and these social media sites and your actual real life, you're in trouble. Like, without, you know what I'm saying? Like, for me, I think if you're going to choose a side, my side is the safer side than be all in on the internet versus being all in. I'm all in on the real world at the end of the day. You know what I'm saying? If the internet was to, it was to be over tomorrow, my life continues as normal. You know what I'm saying?
But, and on the other side, if the internet wiped out tomorrow, a lot of people's lives will end tomorrow. It's like the whole existence is gone.
The real world ain't going nowhere. You know what I'm saying? That's here. You know what I mean? But like the internet, which it ain't going nowhere either. So this is a wild example, but I'm just saying, like, your social media platforms could go somewhere.
Well, they
could
go somewhere. But check this out. Like, you know what I'm saying? You're absolutely right. I've seen this in the past when Twitter used to go down, right? Mm-hmm. And people would lose their mind because Twitter's down.
Mm-hmm.
What am I going to do? I'm going to talk to people. Where am I going to get my information from? I can't scroll because Twitter's down. Or Instagram go down. Instagram's down. What's going on? And it finally comes back. Man, I'm glad Instagram finally came back. Now I can get back to life. Man, I don't know. Instagram's gone. The site went down. I'm freaking like, I don't know what to do. I've seen that throughout the years. I remember that happening several years ago when Twitter went down for a couple of days. People went crazy. A couple of hours. People went crazy. Yeah. And they couldn't tweet.
And because you couldn't tweet your message to people you don't know and hope that somebody send your thoughts out to the world and hope somebody responds to it. You know what I'm saying? It's basically all it is, you know, in hopes somebody say something back to you. And maybe they won't. Maybe they will. Who knows? I don't know, man. It's a weird place. You know, I know there's a lot of good stuff that can come out of it, man. You can make some good relationships. But like I say, I'm on the side of it where it ain't nobody real until they real. You know what I'm saying? I got to see a real person before I believe it, and not just a thumbnail of a picture. Other than that, you just I don't know. I don't know if you real or not. Like, you know what I'm saying?
You might be real. You might be real, but the reality is only but a small percentage to me. That's how I look at it. That's how I look at it. And don't get me wrong, a lot of great relationships and a lot of great transactions, a lot of business relationships built through social media. You know, even myself personally, I was able to work on some music with somebody in Denmark. Never met them before. They like my music. I like their music. And we built a business music relationship through social media. So there is, I mean, I'm saying like it's a good thing. Yeah. It is upside to it, like you said. But to apologize for the downside of it, you know, if you ain't giving me a high five for the upside, don't down me for because something went wrong.
That's a fantastic point, bro. That's a fantastic point you're making. Don't take all my good, and then when something bad happens, you got a problem with it. Because that's the balance of it.
How many people
for everything great that happens in the world, there's going to be something bad that happens to even
people
it out.
Millions of dollars off of Facebook, off of Instagram. People building careers off of MySpace and built careers off of Instagram and built careers off of TikTok.
Right.
People have fed their families through TikTok.
Yeah, YouTube and all these places. Saying?
Now, if something go wrong, if I'm not sending him a check and saying thank you for putting me on and having that platform for me to do what I'm doing and making sure that I'm acknowledging all these people for these entities of their social media platforms and the good that it's done for me and my family and the influence I'm able to have and the business I'm able to build, if something goes wrong, we just have to take it on the chin, figure out how to mitigate it, and move on. If I was a billionaire owner of one of these social sites, I'm like, I ain't apologizing to nobody. That's just me personally. I'd feel bad for the things that happened.
Apologize as a cost.
I can't
of
apologize.
Business.
Say what?
Yeah, he apologized as the cost of business, as a cost of doing business, is what he apologized for. He said to himself, "I apologize. If I don't apologize, people are gonna jump online and criticize. They're gonna spin the narrative.
It's gonna be bad for business.
Media. Yeah, they're gonna spin the narrative in the media, and they're gonna, you know, ultimately, they're gonna make my life difficult." The people that I'm standing in front of today, all these senators and everybody, they're going to make my life difficult.
So do what you got to do. But I guarantee you, after that convenes, you, sir, that was berating me, you might have to come see me. You might have to come see me in private. We talk.
Block his page. Block his page.
My
do.
Guess what?
All right.
Your whole social media.
Your message don't get out no more. Yeah.
You done.
Your page is done. See how your states, how your state citizens get to hear your message now without a Facebook page or Instagram page.
Every time you try to drop something, I'm having all my people that I know on all platforms, because I'm pretty sure they got a community and they know each other and they bounce it, because that's why Snapchat now looks like Instagram, that now looks like Facebook, and they got all these things that are very similar. It used to be different. Snapchat used to be way different from the things that you would see on Instagram, and the stories on Instagram didn't look like how Twitter, and now they all look the same. I'm pretty sure they run in the same circles. They know. Hey, look, shut them down.
Shut them down. That's how you get them back. I'm gonna say sorry, but you're going to say sorry later, because I'm going to say it now, and then afterwards you're going to apologize to me in private later on for this behavior, I'm in agreement with you. I don't think he owed nobody no apology for that, man. That was wrong of him to put that type of pressure on him. I do understand where that comes from, but at the same time, that's not his duty. As much as, you know, if the government can't apologize for what they do to their citizens and the mistreatment that they do of us, he don't owe them no apology, man.
Apology. You know? Yeah, man. For sure. Hey, look, we at that point, man. And I don't know how much nub you got left. I mean, I'm curious to see how much nub you got left.
I had a beautiful ash on this. I just dumped it before it fell on me. I wanted to show it to you. I should have left it because it felt stable, but it was a beautiful.
That's still a good amount of nub left, man. That's still a good amount of nub left.
I told you.
Hey, look, so I want you to go in on your nub. So I'm going to go ahead and talk about my Fuente because
My nub is less interesting than what you got going on, because my nub is my nub. You know what I'm saying? The nub is one of those pieces that if you smoke cigars, you know about this. What you got.
Okay.
So let me go, and then the floor is yours, because you got the brand new item here. But for me, I have this Nub Maduro. This has a little bit of an oily wrapper on it, so that made it for a very smooth smoke for me. A lot of nice, creamy smoke, great aroma coming off of it, good draw on this particular stick. Of course, the construction is well done. It is got some toasty notes that I pick up on it. I picked up on some chocolatey notes, some nuttiness within this particular cigar. I'd say just a little bit of sweetness, but that comes probably from the chocolate notes that I'm picking up on this particular stick. The nub is always just a good smoke, regardless of which one you choose. Of course, that Maduro wrapper we love so much. Beautiful stick. It's lasted for, we've been smoking it for about 40 minutes, and I'm probably at the halfway mark of this stick right here at this point in time. Great stick by Oliva. I'm going to give it an even 4 from 1 to 5.
Love it. Love it. Hey, and by the way, for those who don't know, Nub also makes flavored sticks. They do got flavored sticks out there, and they are worth trying. So if you like that Java line, you like Drew Estate's, Java's in there.
That Bottom Betty
Dead Rose series. Yeah. The Dead Rose series. If I had to pick flavors, top 3 flavors, those are my top 3 flavor sticks over the acids and even CAOs. Grab a nub. Treat yourself. Nubs are a treat. Nubs are a treat. So shout out to Nub. I wanted to highlight that because you got it. You got a boy over there. That thing is it.
Yeah.
So Fuente, man. Top 5 for me. Did it make our top 5?
Yeah,
it had. I had to.
I don't know how 5 others.
Yeah. Definitely my father's. Davidoff. Fuente, top 5. I just wanted to go back and revisit the episode.
It might have been honorable mention.
But right today, right now, after this smoke, definitely top 5 as I'm consciously thinking now. But always one of those cigar lines that we've always spoke highly about. And nothing changes today. Only thing I say that changes today is my assessment on Fuente and how we talked about Fuente and how everything is usually even keel, nice balanced stick, smooth smokes, and give you that standard of just goodness when it comes to cigars, right? Nothing crazy happens. But with this one, it's a lot untold story. It's a lot different, but in the same vein, but a lot different because it gave me so many different, it was flavorful, burst of flavors from the jump. Didn't even ease into it. It just said, hey, here's some mocha, here's some dark chocolate, here's some oak, here's some cedar, here's some leather, here's some oiliness. I'm going to give you all of that, and I'm going to just hoop and loop around and just throw you a bunch of different things and just get you on board and just say, hey, here, settle in for the ride, because it definitely was a ride. And as you see, I have a whole lot more stick left, And to this point, like I said, it gave me all those flavors that I just spoke about, that dark chocolate, which was very prominent, nice, solid, nice oiliness, not over oily, not dry at all, just a nice, solid oiliness, some licorice even, and some leather. It has like a lot of everything. So I'm curious to know the story of Untold Story. I owe y'all a final review and a little bit more insight on Untold Story. But that Cameroon wrapper, that dark African Cameroon wrapper, it is nice. Holds everything together nicely. Well-constructed, solid stick. Probably, I don't know if I want to say it's my favorite, because Fuente got some really nice ones that are just smooth rides. But is it one of my favorites? It can possibly be. I would say it was definitely one of my favorite sticks because it gives you so much. So anytime I want a variety when it comes to Fuente, I'm grabbing this. I'm definitely grabbing this. If I want something that's going to give me a little bit more excitement than what Fuente usually does. So for the excitement factor, top notch. Well done, well constructed, really good smoke, good thick profile. I mean, good thick body. And the profile was really, really nice. And also some spice too in the very beginning, which really did dial back. So with this stick, man, because we are being tough on these ratings. So I got to be careful. I don't want to be a prisoner. I don't want to get distracted to the moment. I've done it with Liga. Because I got to be careful. I'm trying to catch myself here, okay? 4.4.
What did you want to say? What did you want to say that you put, that you dial back on?
I want to say 4.9.
This guy. Ooh.
This cigar is nice, man. Like, hey, look, if I'm caught up in the moment, prisoner of the moment, 4.9 all day, but I have to get into my true rating scheme. Also, aroma is really, really nice, too. Nice aroma. I had to shave some points off just because of emotion.
Okay.
I had to subtract some emotion points. So emotion says 4.9, but minus the emotion points, 4.4. 4.4.
All right, that's it. I know what I'm gonna be. I might have to slide off to the shop, man, today. Add that to the humidor. Mm-hmm. Hey, man, we appreciate mm-hmm. y'all for tuning in to episode 81, which is the Terrell Owens episode, but we also made it the Pro Bowl episode because, you know, we had to involve some old guys who deserve some honorable mentions. So along with that, we got Tim Brown, we got Randy Moss, we got Calvin Johnson as honorable mentions for today's episode. Yeah, yeah. Jose, I don't even want to continue with that bit. Jose gotta go. But anyway, y'all, we appreciate y'all for tuning in to this week's episode of the Cigars and Everything Else podcast. We out. Keep them sticks up high. Thank you.